Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was still in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all, and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Perhaps you've heard that the Alabama State Senate just this past Tuesday voted overwhelmingly to approve a bill for a constitutional amendment that would allow the Ten Commandments to be displayed on public property. That bill now goes to the State House of Representatives, and then it would have to be approved by the voters to go into effect. Of course, the lawsuits are already mounting to either block or end this bill altogether. Aside from the politics associated with this, it in my mind raises a much larger question. In that first reading today, we heard the full biblical version of the Ten Commandments. The question it raises is, to me anyway, is what is it about these Ten Commandments that people find so offensive? Maybe I should rephrase that a bit and say, what is it about these Ten Commandments that people find so convicting that they don't want to hear, they don't want to see them, they don't even want to have to look at them? You know, that first reading shows us several things beyond actually giving us the Ten Commandments. It tells us that these commandments were given by God himself directly to his people through Moses. And if we look carefully, we also see that the underlying theme in the Ten Commandments is one of holiness. They're about becoming holy. You know, in the Hebrew, that word for holy, kodesh, it means literally set apart for God. That's what holy means, set apart for God. Always remember that. In his Lenten message for us this year, Pope Francis essentially tells us what holiness means. Pope Francis said, "Lent summons us and enables us to come back to the Lord wholeheartedly and in every aspect of our life. The Ten Commandments tell us how to do this, how to come back wholeheartedly to the Lord in every aspect of our life. They serve as guideposts along the way that we need to live out a life of holiness. We always see the Ten Commandments as depicted on two tablets, right? The first tablet contains three commandments, and those three commandments are about the love of God. And then on the second tablet, the remaining seven tell us about love of neighbor. Two tablets. We hear in the gospel that Jesus says the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it. He said it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Two tablets. Love of God, love of neighbor. Two great commandments given to us by Jesus. That first commandment, simply put, simply means to put the Lord first in every aspect of your life, as Pope Francis said. There's a good reflection question for you today, this Lord's Day. In a quiet moment with your family, with your friends, ask yourself, do I put God first in my life? Always. In every way. Or do I sometimes put other things first? Money, job, pleasure. You have to name it, what it might be for you. That second commandment, simply put, says we are not to desecrate the holy name of God. Even God's name is holy. Now, you wouldn't do that if you loved him. God's name is holy, and so you don't use it flippantly or in vain. We treat God's very name with reverence and respect. To do otherwise is to fail to recognize the holiness of that name. And that's profanity. To profane something is to make it dirty, unclean. The third commandment, to keep holy the Lord's Day. You'll notice it just doesn't say, go to church for an hour, and the rest of the day is yours to do with as you please. Catch up on laundry, go shopping, whatever that might be. It says to keep the day holy and remember what does holy mean? It means set apart for God. We're called to refrain from secular activities. If you go to an online dictionary, Google the word secular, it says that secular means attitudes, activities, or other things that have no spiritual basis. We're called to refrain from these things on the Lord's Day today. And this is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, Article 2185. This is probably the toughest one for most people today, including me. Many people respond and say, well, I'm a busy person and my time is precious. And that's certainly true. But we have to ask ourselves, do we think of time as something secular without any spiritual or religious meaning? I think many people do. And that's why it's so hard for them to understand, because all of us, once we leave here, we are so bombarded and influenced by secularism. And secularism says that this world is all there is, and there's nothing sacred about time. Everything is secular. The third commandment
tells us about the sanctity of time. God is saying that your time is more than just precious. It's sacred. It's holy. And by saying that this particular day, the Lord's Day, is holy, God is teaching us that time itself is holy, and that the time we give Him should be a time set apart. So, if we treat the Lord's Day like any other day, we are desecrating it. We're profaning it. On the Lord's Day, God is reminding us that there's more to time than just this world and just this life. There's an eternity waiting for us. And the Lord's Day is a foretaste of that eternal rest that all of us hope to enter one day. The second half, or the second tablet of the Ten Commandments is about love of neighbor. And you notice that it starts with family. To honor your father and your mother. It says that fatherhood and motherhood are sacred. They're holy because our mother and our father gave each of us our life. And our life is sacred. Regardless of the kind of people your mother and father may be, they gave you your life. No one else did that. And for that reason alone, they are holy and they are to be honored. You know, so many people say, well, you know, the Ten Commandments are phrased so negatively. Don't do this. Don't do that. Fine. Reformulate them for yourself in the way that they're intended to be heard in terms of holiness. Because again, that's exactly what the commandments are about. They're about living a life of holiness. Why shouldn't I kill another human being? Because human life is holy. Human life is sacred. God Himself makes that life holy, set apart for God, and no one has the right to take it and treat it as though it has no meaning or value. Very simple. Adultery is sinful because of the sanctity of marriage. When a man and a woman marry one another, they become two in one flesh, and as that they become holy, set apart from every other man and woman, and set apart for each other and for God. Adultery profanes that holiness of marriage, as does a man and a woman who live together as though they are married without being married. They are profaning God's plan for marriage. They're saying to God, we think there's no value or meaning in your plan for man and woman. And the same thing goes for theft. Theft is about the sanctity of private property. If something belongs to someone else, I have no right to take it simply because I want it. And it doesn't matter how rich the other person is. If it's not yours, you don't have a right to take it. Bearing false witness is about the sanctity of speech. God has given us the gift of speech so that we can speak the truth. There's a holiness to speech for that reason. It's unique to us as human beings. No one else speaks as we speak. And we have to use that unique gift to speak the truth. To use that gift to speak a lie is to profane that gift, to use it in a way that God never intended it to be used. And then the final commandments on coveting sum up really so many of the previous ones, telling us there's a sanctity that to everything that belongs to someone else, be it their spouse, be it their property. And not only do you not have a right to take it, you should strive to not even let that desire to take it, covet it, enter into your heart. Lent, the season of Lent that we're in the middle of, is all about growing in holiness, and the commandments tell us how to do that. And of course, our faith is not about rules. But to say that rules have no meaning would be to make a grave, grave error. Our faith is about a right relationship with God. And the commandments, again, provide the guidelines or the rules on how that relationship is rightly lived. Today is the Lord's Day. That day where God commands us to take this day and set it apart for Him. Take some time today and read again that first reading, that text on the Ten Commandments. Reflect on them. Ask yourself the question, how have I failed in the love of God? How have I failed in love of neighbor? And then ask God to show you how you can grow in each of these areas so that you can live those two great commandments that Jesus gave, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Take some time today. Do this, and you will be living Lent to the fullest.